We welcome you in the Saviour's name to this live stream of our church service in Armagh Free Presbyterian Church. We want you to know that whatever your background, that we are very happy that you have been able to join with us. And it is our prayer that the service, and especially the message from God's Word, will be a blessing and a help to you. The Free Presbyterian Church in the city of Armagh commenced in the late summer of 1965, when Dr. Ian Paisley held a great tent mission on Stuart's Hill, at which over 100 souls were converted to Christ. Our church building sits on an elevated site behind the old women's prison overlooking the city, and it was officially opened by Dr. Paisley on Saturday, the 4th of January, 1975. The building is a unique design and is built on two levels to take advantage of the sloping site. The church is constructed in brick with round corners. It has a freestanding portal frame and stained glass windows which encircle almost the entire building. In recent years, the church facilities and some of the grounds have been completely refurbished. Please make the live streams of our church services as widely known as possible among your family and friends. We would also ask you to like our church and our broadcasts on our Facebook page. Video recordings of the messages from our services can be found on Sermon Audio, Facebook, and YouTube. We want to give you a warm invitation to come along and join with us at our church services. We are a family church and a church family, and we would be very pleased if in the future you made our church the spiritual home for your family. Thank you. Good evening, everyone. We're glad to see you at the gospel service. We welcome you in the Saviour's name. We're going to sing the gospel hymn to commence tonight. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. We'll leave out the middle verse. We'll just sing 1 and 2 and 4 and 5, omitting verse 3, and keeping our seats as we sing together, please. Let's just unite our hearts together in prayer. We'll pray for the Lord's hand of blessing and power to be upon the gospel as it's preached in the evening service tonight. Our Father, we approach thy throne very conscious of the privilege that we have of being able to seek thee. We want to pray, Father, that we would know your nearness in the service tonight. We want to pray, Father, that each one that's present will know that the Lord is here. You've assured us, Father, that when two or three are gathered in your name, that there thou art in the midst. And Lord, we want to know that you're amongst us. We want to know that you're in the midst of this gathering tonight. We want to know your presence right from the very beginning and in every part. We remember that Moses said, "If thy presence go not with us, then carry us not up hence." And Lord, our desire is that you will go with us tonight through this service, and that you'll come and guide us, come and bless us. We pray, Father, for a pouring out of the power of the Spirit upon this meeting tonight. We're conscious of the difference that that would make to the preaching of the gospel. Lord, we do recognize the great need of our land is for the word of God, the gospel message, to be preached in the power of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, we would ask that you would grant that to us, even in this service tonight. We pray that all across the land, wherever Christ is exalted and the gospel is set forth in simplicity and purity, we want to pray, Father, that the Spirit of God will attend to that meeting, give help to your servants. Lord, we want to hear of how that you've visited the Church of Christ across the land. We do plead tonight earnestly for a great visitation of God to be upon our nation just at this time. Lord, remember the church here. We think of events that are planned, meetings, special outreaches in these coming weeks. And Lord, we recognize that we need the Lord to be with us. We need thee to come. Lord, we want to just commit these events into your hands. We remember our Children's Day services next Sabbath day. We do thank you for the children of the church. We thank you, Father, for the lambs of the flock. We want to pray that you'll bless them. Lord, we think of the concern of parents bringing up little ones in this wicked age in which we're found, an age when iniquity abounds. And Lord, keep your hand upon the children, is our earnest cry. We pray that you'll bless them. We want to pray just that you'll save the children, save them early in life. And Lord, we want to pray that you'll lead them on with yourself, even all the days of their life. We want to pray that you'll bless this church in coming days with young families. We pray that you'll send in others. Lord, we're praying that we'll see the work of God here added to. We remember the promise that was given to Ezekiel those many years ago, that you would increase us with men like a flock. And Lord, we recognize that you're the only one that can give that increase. So we lift our eyes from ourselves and from our own ability. And Lord, we look to thee. We want to get our eyes upon thee. We pray for a glimpse of thyself. We do remember our brother Philip, who will come to speak next Sabbath to take those meetings. Give our brother help. Thank you for his life, his ministry. Thank you for the love he has for children and young people, how you've used him. And Lord, our prayer is that through this week that you'll lead him, lead his thoughts, lay upon his heart the right messages for those two services next Sabbath day. And Lord, we want to pray that even through your servant, hearts will be spoken to, not just the children, but even some of the adults that will be present in those meetings. And Lord, our prayer is that our meetings will be blessed with salvation. Lord, we do cry to thee for that. Save us from barrenness in these days in which we live. We want, Father, for fruitful times. We plead for fruitful seasons. We plead, Father, that you'll bring us through days of great blessing. We pray that you'll bring us again to days of soul winning. Remember that you've said, he that winneth souls is wise. And Lord, it's our desire, our prayer, as a church, even individually, we want, Father, to use our days and our time and our lives and our talents wisely in the service of Christ and in bringing others to the Savior. We pray that this will be a soul-winning church. Lord, we ask thee to hear our cries. To that end, you've told us that we have not because we ask not. And Lord, you've said if we ask it, it'll be given unto us. And we come and ask, Father, that you will bless us with times of soul winning. Remember the special meetings planned for the Sunday nights over the summertime. Lord, lead the way. We ask thee just to go before us. We commit the way to thee. We want to pray that those meetings from the very beginning will be owned of God. Lord, we pray that you'll come and put your seal upon them. We pray there'll be meetings that'll know the power of God upon them. We want to pray there'll be meetings that will know the blessing of the Lord very clearly and evidently upon them. We pray, Father, that you'll move in that whole district, even by your Spirit. We want to pray, Father, that you'll draw in people that wouldn't ordinarily come to a gospel meeting. We pray that they'll feel comfortable to come along to those drive-in meetings to hear the Word of God. We remember what we read in the Scriptures of your servant John the Baptist preaching out there in the Judean wilderness, and that you drew out all Jerusalem and Judea to hear your servant preaching the gospel. And Lord, we pray that you'll give to us such times again. You've told us that we're to go into all the world, that we're to go out into the highways and the byways and the hedges, and to compel them to come in. And Lord, give us a burden. We cry for souls. Save us from indifference and apathy, that lukewarm Laodicean spirit. Save us, Father, from the wicked influence of the age in which we're found. We pray that we'll ever live with eternity's values in view. And Lord, we want to pray, even in the words of that great missionary text that was emphasized in the meeting this morning, as a congregation, lengthen our cords and strengthen our stakes. And Lord, we pray that from this church again in coming days, you'll raise up and send forth other missionaries, others of our young people. Lord, touch their hearts. We pray that you'll give them a burden, give them a vision of perishing souls. And we want to pray, Father, that there will be others, many others, sent forth from this congregation in Armagh, even to reach the lost all across the earth. Remember, in Australia tonight, we ask thee to remember our brother Philip, our brother Ralph. We remember our brother Kyle too. Thank you for them, Father, for their obedience to the call of God to leave home, to go so far away. Bless all of these brethren, we pray, in their labours in that very needy land. We think of the godlessness of that country too. But Lord, sustain your servants. We pray that you'll lead them on day by day. We pray that you'll be pleased to add to those works. Remember their families here at home as they feel the pain, the burden of loved ones that are so far away. Just be near to them, Father. Grant them your grace, even for the circumstances in which they're found. And Lord, remember Joy tonight there in Nepal. Keep your hand upon her, sister. We think of the circumstances that prevail. We think even of the political crisis. We think, Father, just of the lack of confidence that people have in the government there at this time, the great uncertainty that that causes. Keep your hand upon that land. Watch over our sister. We want to pray, Father, even for the work that has been done there over these last 10 or 15 years. We think of how you blessed our brother, the Reverend Graham. We think, Father, of how you attended to his life and labours. Think of how that was remembered. Even at the special service on Friday night, he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and faith. Much people was added to the Lord. We think, Father, of the need of labourers for that land too. We pray that you'll send them forth, we ask of thee. And Lord, we want to pray for the Reverend Thapa too, that you'll keep your hand upon him for good, even at this time. Thank you for your hand upon the Reverend Pararwa there in Kenya, for the touch of God that he has known, for your faithfulness. And Lord, remember that land too, and the great need that there is for labourers also. So Father, hear our prayers and our cries. We just ask thee to lead us tonight. We need the leading of the Lord. Pray you'll come and give liberty in every part. Come and stand with us tonight. We just ask, Father, that preacher and hearer alike will be conscious of the nearness of Christ our Saviour in this gathering. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to turn in the scriptures, please. We're turning to John 13. The 13th chapter of John's Gospel. John 13. We're going to break into the chapter, the 18th verse. So it's John chapter 13, the 18th verse. We're going to read down to the end of verse 31. Let's hear the Lord's word in our hearts tonight. The Savior says, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come,
that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sup when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sup, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sup, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. So we'll end the reading there, in the close of that 31st verse, and we pray the Lord will bless to all your hearts this the public reading of his word. We appreciate your presence at the gospel service tonight. We thank you for coming along to this evening gospel meeting. We pray it will be a blessing to you. We pray the word of God will go forth clearly and powerfully. And we value your prayers for the ministry of the word of God here. We thank all who have come. As we said last Sunday night, we're very glad to see the children and the young people too that have come along to join with us in the service tonight. Remember, this is the Lord's Day that we take the annual offering for the Whitfield College of the Bible. It gives all of the congregations an opportunity just to have a part in the support, the running costs from year to year of the college. So keep that in mind. If you didn't come prepared or you overlooked that, you can still give after today. Just put the envelope on the plate and mark it for the Whitfield College of the Bible. And just to highlight the students doing the exams, pray that the Lord will be with them. It can be very wearying, very demanding. The scriptures tell us that much study is a weariness of the flesh. So pray the Lord will sustain them through this very important time. The summer exams are always more demanding than the winter ones, the Christmas ones, because they're just that wee bit longer. There's a wee bit more involved in them. Remember Wednesday night, our midweek service for prayer and Bible study. Again, we'd be glad of your presence, your support. Keep that in mind. Come along and share with us. The service is next Lord's Day. It's the first Sabbath in June, which is always our Children's Day. And we're going to have Children's Day services this year again, even though the children themselves, because of the limitations and restrictions, can't participate in the service. The meeting's at the usual times, 11:30 a.m., 6:30 p.m. Our brother, Mr. Philip Harton, from the Bethany Church in Portadown, will be our guest speaker. And we hope to have a program in those meetings just that everyone will be able to be involved in them. So keep the meetings in mind. Plan to be with us. Tell others, as we generally do, even use it as an opportunity of outreach to invite and encourage others to come to hear the Word of God. Remember the afternoon, the Sunday school online, the FPC kids from the mission board, that's at 3 o'clock. The Radio Star country broadcasts, just to highlight those, continue month by month. We're involved with three other churches in that outreach. Wednesday afternoon at 3, 981 Medium Wave. It's come round my turn in the rota to prepare the messages. So from this Wednesday, 5 Wednesdays in June is the way it falls this time. So keep those in mind as those broadcasts go forth. Pray we'll know the Lord's help and pray that the Lord will bless the messages as they go out over the airwaves. Remember our sister congregation just up the road, it's a daughter congregation too, Market Hill. They're having some special drive-in meetings at the end of this week. The guest speakers are two evangelists with the mission board, Noel Shields and Colin Maxwell. So if you're free on Thursday or Friday night, we'd encourage you to go along to the Market Hill Church. We'd want to encourage them in that outreach and seek to give our support to it. And remember too, just the literature. There's literature at both doors of the church. Take the time to look over that if there's something there that you haven't been able to receive or to pick up before. I think those are all the announcements we need to highlight to you tonight. The United Presbytery Choir, we're going to have them sing a lovely hymn about the blood that cleanses from all sin. What a great truth that is, to emphasise the power of the Saviour's blood. So we'll ask our brother Ken if he'll play that for us, please. That's the great theme that we're going to sing about in heaven for all eternity. The book of the Revelation tells us that the great choir in heaven sing unto him who hath loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And what a testimony that is. We'll ask you just to stand, just the opportunity to change your position before we come to the scriptures tonight. We'll seek the Lord in prayer. We thank you, Father, for the blood of Christ. We rejoice in the power of that blood. We thank you that there's power to cleanse from all sin. We rejoice in all in the meeting who have been to that crimson fountain and experienced that cleansing. And Father, it's our prayer it will be true of all in this meeting. We ask it might be true of all in our families. We want to pray, Father, for the cause of the gospel in the days in which we're found. We want to pray that you'll bless very definitely. Lord, we need thee to come in power. We need thee to come and help. We need thee, Father, to come and pour out your blessing very clearly, very evidently. We want to ask that you'll bless us indeed. We're praying, Father, not just for ordinary times of blessing. We want to pray for the extraordinary, when you'll open the windows of heaven, pour out upon us such a blessing, there'll not be room enough to receive it. Lord, it is our burden, our desire, that we might be spared to see revival, to see a move of God once more in this land, to see the entire land turn to thyself. We pray, Father, that you'll visit us with such a revival that the blessing would even spill over the border into the south, and that that land steeped in Romanism, steeped in darkness, might be turned to God as well. We remember what you did in the days of the New Testament, that they were turned to God from idols. And Lord, we believe today that you're the same God, the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. So Lord, we pray that in these days you'll give us indications that you're working amongst us, indications, Father, of blessing that is to come. We pray for the mercy drops to be poured out upon us. We want to pray even tonight, Father, come and put your hand very powerfully upon the message that will be brought. So here these are prayers and our cries. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. We're turning to John 13, verse 30. We'll take that as our text this evening. The 13th chapter of John's Gospel, the 30th verse. The scriptures tell us of Judas Iscariot. He then, having received the sup, went immediately out, and it was a night. The theme in the Gospel tonight is the man who left the meeting and went to hell. Can emphasize to you that in this chapter, the Savior's gathered together with his disciples in order to keep the feast of the Passover. This is the occasion that is generally known to us as the Last Supper. This was the last meal that the Savior was to have with his disciples before his crucifixion. And this meeting was not to end without events taking place and without statements being made of an extraordinary nature. In fact, some of the events of this gathering took even the disciples totally and completely by surprise. They heard statements that night in that upper room which none of them had anticipated. They listened to an Old Testament scripture that was quoted by the Lord Jesus himself. It was a scripture that spoke of a person performing a cold and a callous act, and to their horror, their absolute horror, the Savior applied that scripture to one of them. They also heard, to their amazement, the words in verse 21, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Just think of that, what the Savior was saying to the disciples. One of you shall betray me. One of you who have been in my company right throughout the period of my earthly ministry. It is one of you who is to perform one of the most diabolical, one of the most hypocritical acts that ever was performed by mortal man. One of you, my own disciples, is to betray me into the hands of evil men. on realizing what the Savior was saying to them, an atmosphere of sorrow, of sadness, of despair fell over the gathering. And the disciples began one after another to ask the question, Lord, is it I? And 11 times over, the Savior heard that same question from the disciples. Take time later to read down Matthew chapter 26. It's the comparable passage in Matthew's gospel. But 11 times over, the Savior heard that same question. Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? But then from the lips of the 12th disciple, the Savior heard a different question. Because this man asked the question, Master, is it I? Now just think of that. Here's a man among the disciples of our Lord, and they could not call Jesus Christ Lord. The Bible says, the scriptures teach in the books of Corinthians, that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. But this man knew nothing about the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, because this man had never been saved. Here was an imposter. Here was a hypocrite. And it was none other than Judas Iscariot. You know, sometimes when we think of Judas, we picture in our minds a man who couldn't be trusted. A man, and if you were in his company, you would always be very uneasy. You'd always be uncomfortable, always be suspicious. But the reality is that nothing could be further from the truth. Because right throughout the period of time that all of these disciples had known Judas, they never once suspected him of not being saved. In fact, so much did they trust Judas Iscariot that he had been appointed to the office of treasurer among them. Remember that we're told in this passage that he kept the bag. So his outward conduct had given the other apostles no occasion, not even as much as once, to suspect Judas of being false. And yet here was an imposter. Here was a man who pretended to be a child of God, when in reality was nothing more than a child of the devil. And at this meeting, at this sacred gathering, after accepting the sup from the hand of the Savior himself, Satan took full control of Judas's life. Verse 27 states that Satan entered into him. Satan took full control of Judas's life. And Judas arose from the supper. He departed from that sacred meeting. And they went out to conspire against the Son of God with wicked men. And that's what I want us to consider just for a few minutes tonight in the gospel. I want us to think of Judas's departure from this sacred gathering, or as the title that we've given the message says, the man that left the meeting and went to hell. Notice, first of all, the time of his departure. Our text says, he then, having received the sup, went immediately out. Notice those words. He then, having received the sup. Judas left this gathering after he had received that morsel of bread from the outstretched hand of the Savior. Can I point out to you, the giving of that sup was a token of favor. So just prior to Judas's exit from this meeting, the Lord Jesus had held forth his hand in mercy to this man. He had held forth his hand with a manifestation of his favor, a manifestation of his compassion. It was a manifestation that was intended to touch, to melt this man's heart. It was a token to invite him to forsake his evil design. And yet, despite having received this very definite evidence of the Lord's mercy, Judas still chose to reject Jesus Christ. And remember, men and women, this wasn't the first token of mercy that Judas had received. There was no man more blessed than Judas Iscariot. Judas had heard the gospel, and had heard the gospel from the lips of that man of whom it was said, never man spake like this man. Judas had a clear head knowledge of salvation. In fact, there was no person who knew the way, knew the plan of salvation better than Judas Iscariot. You know, it's a striking thing, but it's true nonetheless, that during the time that Judas was a disciple, a member of the apostolic band, he had himself preached the good news of the gospel. He had gone out on those preaching tours with the other apostles, the other disciples. He had witnessed miracle after miracle performed by the omnipotent hand of the Son of God. So here's a man who had continually received evidences of the Lord's mercy that were intended to bring him to Christ in salvation. But despite all that he had seen and all that he had heard, he still refused to accept Jesus Christ as a Savior. And when he received the sop that evening, he had received the last token of mercy. He had been given the last opportunity to forsake his sin and to get right with God. As the old hymn says, he was over the deadline at last. He was like the people in the days of Noah. Remember, for 120 years they watched Noah and his family build the ark. And for the same period of time they'd heard Noah warn them. Noah had preached to that generation. The scriptures tell us that he was a preacher of righteousness. And he had preached and he had warned of what would befall all those that had not taken refuge in the ark when the flood came. And yet, despite all that they had seen, despite all they witnessed, all that they'd heard, the length of time that they'd heard Noah preach, despite all of those tokens of mercy that they had received, they refused to enter into the ark and be saved. And perhaps there's someone listening to the message tonight, and you have listened to the gospel being preached on numerous occasions, more often than you can remember. You've had opportunity after opportunity. You've had token after token of God's mercy. And still you're not saved. Still you're not right with God. You might even be like Judas Iscariot, acting the part of a Christian. Everybody around you, even in the meeting tonight, thinks that you're saved. But you know that the work of salvation has never been done, never been wrought in your heart. And for years, the Savior, in his mercy, has sought to bring you to himself. God has given you token after token of his favor. And again today, his hand is outstretched towards you in mercy, in bringing you to this meeting, this gospel service, causing you to hear the word of God, the gospel message, once again. Can I ask you, will you turn your back upon the Savior again tonight? Leave the meeting still unsaved, still out of Christ? Because remember that just like Judas Iscariot, this could be your last opportunity to get right with God. In this meeting, God could be giving you your last token of his mercy. So the time of his departure. Notice in the second place the purpose of his departure. Whenever Judas left the meeting that evening, he left for a specific purpose, but it was a very evil purpose. And yet, even as he went out through the door, the other disciples, they were totally misled, because they thought that Judas was leaving their company to go and do the Savior's will. Look at verse 29, the previous verse. It says, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast. He had to get the supplies, go and pay the bills, or that he should give something to the poor. So they thought, they were misled. As Judas went out of the meeting, they thought he was going to do the Savior's will. But how wrong they were. Because far from going to purchase anything that night, far from going to part with money, Judas left the meeting to sell. He left the meeting with the sole intent of receiving money. He departed from that meeting with no other purpose in his head other than exchanging Jesus Christ, an eternal salvation, for a mere 30 pieces of silver. Covetousness reigned in his heart, and the love of money
It drove him that night eternally away from the Savior. And you know the full force of Judas's actions in that meeting? They're described for us back in the book of Psalms, Psalm 41, verse 9. It's a psalm which in the clearest possible language, prophetically, recorded hundreds of years beforehand, the attitude of Judas Iscariot that night. The verse says, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread," there's the morsel, there's the sop, "which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." You see, men and women, Judas not merely turned his back on the Savior that night and went out to exchange him for silver, but in effect, Judas, in departing from that meeting, he was kicking, he was striking with his foot at the Son of God. He that had received so much love and mercy, he now treated the Savior with nothing more than absolute contempt. Do you ever notice those words back in the first book of Samuel? The Lord said to old Eli, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice?" Those are solemn words. And yet they aptly describe what Judas was doing that night. He was despising God's sacrificial lamb, kicking at God's sacrifice, trampling underfoot the Son of God. He was rejecting Christ in the most callous fashion. And what for? Just a handful of silver. And maybe someone listening to the message tonight, you're doing the same. Can I ask you, unsaved person, will you barter? Will you trade? Will you exchange Jesus Christ and your hope of heaven for something in this world that is absolutely worthless? Oh, you say to me, "I would never do what Judas did. I would never openly and blatantly take money in exchange for Jesus Christ." And that may be so. But let me impress this truth upon your heart tonight. Whatever it is, that takes you out of this meeting unsaved, that's the price that you're putting upon the Savior. That's what you're exchanging for God's dear Son. It may be a friendship. It may be the love of wealth or fame. It may be the favor of men, the applause of the crowd. It may be the love of sin, the drink, the drugs, the dance, and so on. But whatever it is, it's causing you to despise and kick at the Lamb of God. And it's taking you nearer to an eternity in hell. You just think of the words of the old gospel hymn. It sums it up well. "You may barter your hope of eternity's morn for a moment of joy at the most, for the glitter of sin and the things you may win. Have you counted? Have you counted the cost?" The purpose of his departure. The other thing I want you to see in the text, that's the result of his departure. Our text says, "He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night." It was night. Judas Iscariot, in leaving the meeting that night, he went out into the darkness of the evening. Just take a moment to picture that in your mind. He gets up and goes through the door, steps out into the darkness of the night. But for him, leaving that meeting did not only result in him being found in the physical darkness of the night, but that physical darkness was a very vivid picture of his spiritual condition. Because in leaving that upper room, having rejected the Savior for the very last time, Judas Iscariot went out into eternal night. And he went out, men and women, into eternal darkness. In John chapter 12, the previous chapter to the one we're considering tonight, the verse 46, the Savior said, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." But Judas left the gathering still in unbelief, still not having put his faith in Christ. And when he closed the door of that upper room, he not only left behind him the light that was burning or shining, between those four walls. But far more importantly, Judas closed the door forever on Jesus Christ, the one who is the Son of Righteousness and the one who is the light of the world. And for the few short hours of his life that remained, a dark cloud hung over his head. And then after going tragically to a suicide's grave, Judas Iscariot's lot was to abide in the blackness of darkness forever. But you know, up in heaven today, sitting around the throne of God, there are the other 11 disciples that was in that upper room that night. Every one of them saved. Every one of them washed in the blood of the Lamb. But the solemn and the sobering truth is this, that he that received the same opportunities as those 11, he that heard the same powerful exhortations to repentance from the lips of the Savior, he who witnessed the same miracles, he who enjoyed the same manifold privileges as all the rest, he's not in heaven. He's not there. But if we could see down into the deepest, darkest, most terrible cavern of the damned, there we would find Judas Iscariot. And throughout all of God's great eternity, Judas Iscariot will be continually reminded of the treacherous act that he performed that night, having left that upper room. And on the day of judgment, it will be more tolerable for the wicked, vile, filthy, sinful sodomites that dwelt in the cities of the plain than it will be for Judas Iscariot. His punishment on the great day of judgment, men and women, is indescribable. The Bible says, this is what the scriptures tell us about Judas Iscariot's punishment. It had been good for that man if he had never been born. Isn't that solemn? Fearful? And men and women, the warning from this story is clear. It's unmistakable. If you have received many gospel opportunities and you're still not saved, then you need to get saved. And you need to get saved today while you still have the opportunity. And if you, like Judas Iscariot, have been living the life of an imposter, letting on that you were saved, letting on that you were a child or a servant of the Lord, when all the while that you were not, then the warning for you is, throw off that cloak of hypocrisy and flee to Jesus Christ before it is forever too late. Because remember, if you die unsaved, having received the many privileges and blessings and opportunities that have been granted to you, it would have been better for you too if you had never been born. God has been merciful, men and women. God has been merciful to you on many occasions. He's been merciful to you again this evening and bringing you to another gospel meeting, bringing you under the sound of the Word of God. Remember that like that night in the upper room, his hand is outstretched towards you, inviting you to himself. And we want to plead with you. We want to plead with you this very night to settle the matter of your soul's salvation. So think of the title that sums up the text and sums up the story of the passage. The man who left the meeting and went to hell. I wonder, will that be true of you? Someone in the meeting, someone listening to the message. Will you leave the meeting tonight and go to hell? Go out into a lost eternity. Think of the words of the text just as we finish. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. We pray the Lord will come by his Spirit and apply the word to every heart in the gathering.
236 is the hymn we're going to close with. It's in keeping with the theme of the message tonight, 236. Out of Christ, without a Saviour, oh, can it be? Like a ship without a rudder on a wild and stormy sea. Think of the words of the chorus. Consider them carefully. Oh, to be without a Saviour, with no hope or refuge nigh. Can it be? Oh, blessed Saviour, one without thee dares to die. Verses 1, 3, and 5, just the odd numbers. And we're remaining seated as we sing, please. Let's just seek the Lord together. Father, we commit ourselves to Thee at the close of the service. Thank You for enabling us to be here. We do want to praise Thee for the gospel meeting. And Lord, we ask Thee to remember our meetings. We're conscious that we need Your presence and blessing. We need the help and power of God. Lord, we stand in great need today of a mighty outpouring of the Spirit. We ask Thee, Father, to strive by Your Spirit in these days. We remember that solemn warning given in the days of Noah, My Spirit shall not always strive with man. Lord, strive in the hearts of men and women. Strive in the hearts of people in this city, this community. We think of the solemn word tonight. Lord, we thank You for the warning of the Scriptures. We thank You for the clarity, even of the warning of this portion of Scripture. And Lord, we recognize that we need Your blessing to be upon it. We pray that You'll take the word tonight. We ask that You'll come by Your Spirit, speak through it, come and apply it to hearts. And Lord, our cry would be that it will please Thee even to use this message to speak savingly to men and women. We do pray, Father, for some who will have made a false profession in time past. Oh God, we want to pray that they'll consider their hearts, consider their condition, consider whether they be in the faith. And Lord, we just ask Thee to hear our cries, even for our loved ones. And we ask, Father, that all of them would follow on to know the Lord. So hear our prayers. Just go with us. May we know your presence tonight as we leave the meeting. And Lord, may we know your presence through this week. May we all be sure that the Lord's hand is upon us, leading us and using us even in your service. We ask thee to spread your covering wings around till all our wanderings cease, and until at our Father's loved abode, our souls arrive in peace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.